Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome, welcome, welcome. Today, I get the pleasure of talking about handling objections. And I love Ms. Mora because Ms. Mora always calls me and says, can you put some products in there? And I'm like, oh, my goodness. Okay. So I'm up to the challenge and looking forward to this call. So handling objections, I think when we start, before we start, one of the key things we want to look at is what exactly is an objection? And for me, that is a huge question. So I pulled out my thesaurus this morning, and I began to look at what is an objection. And there was a key reason why. It was because how I see, hear, and listen to a word, in other words, the thoughts that a word evokes in me will determine my actions and behaviors around that word. So I looked at objections, and how many of you look at objections like argument, challenge, disapprovement, exception, and opposition? Anybody on the call hear it like that?
Yeah.
Can't just be me. Yeah. Okay. And so if you're hearing objections as an opposition, you're going to come to it from a place of opposition. If you're hearing it as being challenged or someone's being argumentative, you're going to come to it. You're going to respond from that place. But imagine if you heard opposition as a query or a question, just a simple query, an inquiry or a question, a need for more information. Maybe someone thinks it's an exception to what they already know and they're curious. If you hear an objection from that place, how you handle it will definitely be different. So first for me, I always look at how do I perceive and understand a word and how does that perception impact what my actions might be. So that's the first thing. The second thing I want to say to you is who you are will definitely determine, one, how you handle an objection and how many objections you get. So I'm going to give you some things to consider before you even go into handling an objection. So this is the first one. I want you to consider integrity. And what I mean by integrity is, what is your integrity to your products and services? You see, the more integrity you have, and integrity for me is doing what I say I'm going to do, it creates a level of credibility and a level of consistency that earns you a listening from people that says that you know what you're saying, talking about, that you know what you're doing. Because what people look at is, are you in integrity? Are you consistently doing and saying the same thing? And the more integrity you have, the less likely people are going to challenge you around what you're saying or what you're doing. So the question then becomes, how much integrity do you have around your products, right? And the level of integrity that you have around your products is equal to how many products of during the Isogenics line do you use. Now, I believe I have a high level of integrity because I have a huge order basket. And I love every single product that we have, and I use pretty well every single product that we have. So I have an experience, I have a belief level, and I have a visibility in terms of I am a product of the product. I am Isogenics. That gives me a high level of integrity and a high level of credibility. So when I speak, there's less likely to be a certain type of objection. Because I'm consistent. What I say and what I do and what I'm speaking to is consistent. They all line up. Another thing about handling objections before we even get into it is your belief. What is your belief in your products and services, and are you believable? And again, really what you want to think about is, the more I am Isogenics, the more I am a product of the product, the more I'm immersed in the culture, the more my belief soars and the more believable I become. And if you combine that with a high level of integrity, you are less likely to experience these objections. Next one is trust. Can I be trusted? And again, my consistency and my willingness to speak the truth about my products and services and not over-promote, but just actually live within the facts, not to be compliant, all those things make me trustworthy. And I will say to you that when someone over-promotes or they appear not trusting, I end up having a high level of objections, and sometimes I don't even know why. It's because there's something about the way they're being that has me not trust them. And ends up having me question them. So my third question is, are you trustworthy? Right? Are you coming to your presentations with honesty? Not wanting to overpromote, but actually just presenting the facts, educating people, and creating the space for them to decide, to choose in or choose out. Right? We educate, you decide. And the final one is, does a person like you? And I know this may sound really interesting, but a big part of that is, have I spent enough time building and developing a relationship that the person likes me? They trust me. They understand my level of integrity. They understand that I am believable. Has that time been spent developing a relationship where the person actually likes who I am and they see me as believable? They see me as trustworthy. And so before I went into actually handling any objections, for me, those are the backdrops that I believe are required to be present for the context for an objection to occur, because then you'll get more objections that are related to how does this work, how do I do this, versus why should I do it, right? That you will change the backdrop of your conversation, because who you are will already speak to a level of credibility, a level of believability that lays the platform for your conversation. So as I move into this, what I want everyone to ask yourself is, am I Isagenix? Am I a product of the product? Am I consistent in my product use? Am I believable? Do people see me living an Isagenix life? Am I totally in integrity? Because from that place, you're less likely to receive a high level of objection. So that was the first thing I wanted to put out there. The second thing I wanted to put out there is how you receive an objection. And again, it goes back to how you hear it, the definition. Now, as we do this, I believe that a lot of things is energy, and people feel our energy. So how I receive an objection will set up the conversation going forward. So I'm going to ask everybody to do a simple thing. Put the palms of your hands together and just push them together. And just push, push, push. And I want you to feel the energy of that. In my opinion, oftentimes is that's how people handle objections. Someone asks them a question and they push back. They get defensive and they push back. And it becomes this push, 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 push. Two people are trying to prove a point. And two people are wanting to be right. And I truly believe that handling an objection is not about proving a point or being right. It is about ensuring that the person who's asking the question feels heard. And I often will say to people, you don't hear me. And there's a difference between listening and hearing. So when someone's listening, they're paying attention to my words and they're listening. When someone hears me, they're hearing not only my words, but they're hearing my heart. They're hearing the things behind the words. So to handle objections is to truly not get caught up in right or wrong proving your point, but to really step back and actually hear the person. So if you're still pushing your arms together, think of if you were to release your left arm and keep pushing with your right arm, you'll notice that your body will fall forward. It will fall in the direction of your left arm. Why is that? Because if you relax into the objection, the person will actually fall into you. They will engage with you. Because truly, objections are really, in my opinion, a very good thing. It means that when someone starts asking me certain objections, it is because there's a curiosity, there's an interest. right? And how I go to it is not about I'm right, you're wrong, let me prove my point, but it is really around hearing what the person is really trying to say. What is the, what's the thing in the way of them, you know, maybe being engaged? What is it that they need to know? What might be experiences that they've had in the past that have them stopped? What are beliefs that they have about what we're doing that may have to be managed so that they can move forward? I'm listening for what's behind the words that I consider to be an objection. So I'm going to stop there for a moment. Any questions, takeaways, comments? Who's out there?
Barbie Lee.
Hi, Suzanne. It's Lynn. It's Lynn Morrison.
I'm going to go to Lynn and then Barbie Lee.
Okay. I've been listening very carefully, and it's so true. We do have a natural tendency to push back and almost debate with the person who's objecting. And that's mm-hmm. really good advice. Sit back and relax. Just really listen to what they're saying and what is it they're really saying.
It's so true. And one of the things I've learned is that I have nothing to prove. Our products, our services, there's such a high integrity with the company that we partner with called Isagenics that I actually have nothing to prove. So if I step back, I'm really in that place of, let me hear you. So great takeaway. And then my defenses go down. Awesome. Thank you.
Terry here.
I'm going to go to Barbara Lee, and then I'm going to come back to you, Terry.
So, Suzanne, I love when you break things down so simply, right? This because we try and I hear Jimmy's voice in my head. Don't complicate my business. And you're uh-huh. doing that. You're keeping it very simple. So thank you. What I loved about what you said is, you know, you gave a definition. And I know that so often I hear, you know, leaders saying things like, I don't get objections. I'm like, shut up. How come you don't get objections? Everybody gets objections. Oh, I don't get, you know. But the way you broke it down right now was like, okay, so when I'm in integrity, you know, and I was just thinking about when you said that and, you know, I've had some physical challenges with an accident that I had, and I've got objections in these last 6 months. And I'm like, oh, because I've been feeling like not connected to Isagenics and the company and all that because I'm just not connected, and that's where the objections are coming from. So thanks. Mm-hmm. I love you.
I love you too. Right, because if I don't feel believable, the energy that I put out is I'm not believable. And people are like, oh, well, there's something to miss here. And it's so interesting. And I think it really has to do with when I am solid in my product belief, when I'm solid in my belief in the culture, people hear me differently. They hear my passion. They hear my certainty. They hear how believable I believe I am. So great share, Barbara Lee. Ah, who else? The gentleman that was jumping out. Go ahead.
It's Terry here. So it is a really important thing to remember how we are, as you said, as Barbara Lee pointed out, plays a big, big role in it. Can you give us a quick little of when someone gives you an objection, how you respond with words, given the fact that you are in integrity, your belief is high, you know, all of that, but there's still a language exchange. So can you give mm-hmm. us an example of how you might deal with a specific transaction, you know, exchange of words?
Well, you just brought me into the next section, so of course, thank you.
Okay.
Okay, so let's talk about some objections. And first of all, I remind myself that objections aren't bad things. And so I engage in conversation and I engage in curiosity. So for me, when I get an objection, the first thing I want to do is I want to get curious, right? And the tendency is to go for the answer, to give the answer right away. But remember, I said I want to listen and I want to hear. And to hear what someone means is very different to listening for the words. So if someone was said to me, you know, Suzanne, isogenics is just a diet, and I have tried all those diets before, and and they don't work for me. Now, my knee-jerk reaction would be to say, well, isogenics isn't just a diet. It's a food technology. Now, that is me a little bit on the defense. But if I am present and I'm curious, I will go, got you. So tell me a little bit about the diets you've tried in the past. What have you tried? And I will engage the person in the conversation so I can begin to unpack what the diets are. So someone might say to me, well, you know, I've tried this diet. I tried the cabbage diet. I've tried that diet. And they didn't work. And I said, so tell me a little bit about what didn't work. Because I know for myself there are many things that I've tried in the past, and they also didn't work. So tell me a little bit about what didn't work or why they didn't work. And I'm just going to continue to get curious. And it might be that they'll say, well, you know, I always hit my, I get where I want to go, but I never stay there. You know, I can't eat the same thing all the time. And so now I'm getting an understanding of their beliefs. I'm getting an understanding of past experiences. I am collecting information that will allow me to give them an answer that has them feel heard. Remember, I want to hear them. So to have them feel heard, not just listened to, but heard. And so I may continue on, and I'll say, well, you know, so when you started gaining the weight back, what did you do? And they might say, well, you know what, I gave up. It was frustrating. And then, so I've collected my information, and I say, I totally get what you're saying. And I totally understand why you would believe that diets don't work. And then I will go into my story, and I'll say, well, one of the things, you know, that when I was introduced to isogenics, I totally thought it was a diet. And I was totally on the defensive. Kevin, can we mute?
I did.
Awesome. Thank you. So what will happen is I will then, first of all, I'll identify with what their objection is. You know what? When I was introduced to isogenics and Susan talked to me about it, I thought it was a diet, and I don't believe in diet. So I was like, yeah, no, that's not for me at all, right? And so I totally got that. It wasn't until I did my own looking and I got a better understanding that I actually got to understand that isogenics was a lifestyle. And being a lifestyle, it's not what I'm going to do in the short term. It's actually how I set up for what I'm going to do every day. So I totally hear you. And then I'll continue that conversation. We'll probably engage in a back-and-forth conversation. But I want to make sure that I understood what that person was really saying to me versus assuming I understood and just jumping into an answer. So that might be a first one. One of my favorites that I get is people will go, is this network marketing? Is this one of those pyramids? Is this, you know, like Amway? All those questions that are very common, very much the same. And for me, again, it's curiosity. And I'll go, well, you know, tell me a little bit more about what you know about network marketing, Amway. Like, what's your experience with that? And again, I'm going to go and I'm going to listen. And my goal is to listen in such a way that I understand what the person's truly asking me. Because oftentimes we answer from our assumption or our own perception, and we're going down a conversation, but we're actually not addressing what the person actually wants us to address. So I'm going to ask enough questions so that I hear that person. I really hear what they're really asking me. You know, another great one I get is that people say, I can't eat the same thing every day. And I'll go, okay, well, what do you eat for breakfast now? And the person will tell me, and I'll go, and Do you eat that often? And I'll ask questions again. And usually people will get back to the circle and they'll go, oh, it's funny, I eat the same thing every morning. And I'll go, yeah, I didn't notice I did that either. And then I'll talk them, then maybe I'll engage in how I make my shakes different, how I mix up isogenics. But I want to get into that conversation. And my key thing is that I am committed to not being on the defensive, but being curious and engaging in a conversation. So for me, I don't hear objections as something I have to handle. I hear objections as an expansion of my conversation. So I get really clear on what the person's needs are. So I want to go a little further, because one of the things I also noticed about handling objections is that I am more than likely to get an objection if I have not spoken into that person's why. And this is so key. So what I mean by that is every single person has a reason that will inspire them to act. Every single person has a reason that has isogenics have value beyond it being a product. In other words, everybody has a why that will touch their life in such a way that it will create transformation for them. So when I get objections, what I think to myself is I'm not speaking into their why. I haven't gotten enough information from them to create enough value that I speak into their why. Because usually when I speak into someone's why, they stand up. And what I mean by they stand up is they suddenly stand for themselves and they begin to talk about how isogenics can create a transformation for them. So I want to give you an example. I was on the phone with a friend yesterday, and she's going through some challenges. And as she's going through her challenges, she has put on weight, she's tired, she's frustrated, lots of things are happening. And what we did was we engaged in conversation. And what I used was I used my own story. And I tell you, your story is a great place to handle objections, to handle those things that come up, because she was talking in such a way, and I said, you know, I so get you. And I began to tell her my story of being in a very similar place to her, where I was exhausted, I was frustrated, I felt beat up by life, and I felt like I was fighting for my life. And what I said to her is, you know, that's exactly when isogenics came into my life. And I began to tell her that story. By the time I finished, she was standing for herself. And she said to me, Suzanne, oh my goodness, you so get me. You so hear me. I knew I had found her why. And we were relating from the place of her why. And then I said, you know, I want to invite you to do this challenge with me. Because when you take care of your health, it's amazing what else in your life changes. And we began to talk about how empowered we feel when we feel good, how energized we feel when we're taking care of ourselves. And I said, this is the other thing. I said, when I was going through my hardest time, my health became the one thing I could manage. It was the one thing I could count on that I could take care of every single day. And in that moment, I spoke into her why. And then she was talking to me about how oh my goodness, doing this would be so great for her. And she was starting to tell me the reasons why she would do it. Now she's going to look at the products and she's going to have some questions. But I'm confident because there's going to be less likely an objection because she sees value for her life. So when I and you speak into someone's why, that's when we actually handle the objections up front. So I'm going to stop there. Questions, comments, takeaways. Who's out there?
Hey, Suzanne, it's Carol.
Hey, Carolyn.
Well, I think how you approach this is so key because, you know, we feel we have to answer the question asked. And I tell people, take a cue from the politicians. They never answer any questions. They just come back with another question. And I think when people realize that you're interested in them versus just answering their question, you'll build what you said, that trust, that likability.
Mm-hmm.
And I could say that when I first started, sometimes people ask like questions they don't even know why they're asking them. I mean, I asked Susan questions like, is this FDA approved and third party tested? And I'm like, I don't know why I was asking that. I was just asking that because I didn't want to commit. So I was looking for a way to, you know, to not be in a place where I felt obligated. And so that's why people ask all those dumb questions. And what I've come to learn is the people who give me the hardest time, they become my best advocates. Because if they're not asking questions, they don't really care. They're not tuned in, and they're eating a McDonald's hamburger. So I don't know. That's
They're actually not vested, right? They're not vested.
Right.
Right. And I remember when I'll tell you, when Susan called me, and Susan had to call me, she called me every day for like a week and a half, right? And she's persistent. And what was interesting was she kept telling me about all the wonderful things about the product, the company, whatever. And I was like, who cares? And I had an objection for everything. I was like, I don't care. Who cares? Ah. Right? Because I was in a time in my life where I was like, oh, God, please don't bring me anything new. And, oh, my God, like it was just not. Then Susan did a call with Deborah Kay. And I remember Deborah, and I remember the moment she said this because I was like, oh, man. Because I knew I was about to stand up. And she said to me, she said, Suzanne, I get that you got a lot going on. I get that you don't care that this is a diet. I get it. And then she said to me, she goes, but, and this is where she spoke to my why. She said, I need out of where I am in the next 6 months. I'm going to build this to six figures in 6 months. You can come or you can be left behind. I was like, oh, my. Oh, my. Now, what she didn't know that she did was I needed out of my situation. Like yesterday. And I needed an answer. And yes, I needed to take care of my health, but I needed a financial answer. She spoke into my why so strongly that I stood up, and I was mad that I stood up, but I stood up. I was like, damn. Right?
And that's how, and that's how she got me too, right? She didn't know I was terribly unhappy or that Steve had lost his job. So, yeah, that's powerful.
So, and you know, so we sometimes don't collect enough information so we can speak into that space in someone's heart that has them stand up for themselves. And that's really what you're doing, because once you're able to do that, the objections change because now they're details. Like what kind of card do you need? It's different questions. So awesome share, Carolyn. Thank you. Anyone else? Who's out there? What are you receiving? Ooh, lines are quiet. I don't know if you have to unmute your line. Go ahead.
Hi, Suzanne. It's Marcia. Yeah, I just wanted to thank you very much. And it's just a good way to look at it. You know, we get kind of in our own zone, and we have to be reminded, you know, that it's getting to what they need and not all about us telling, and we all know that, but it's kind of an automatic switch until you do it enough like you're suggesting, and I really thank you for it. It really has kind of opened my eyes again that we need to be asking more questions, and also you're getting more into what they need, and so then you're finding out that what they needed is probably what I needed when I started, and the connection will be much better, so I don't know if that makes sense, but it made sense to me, so thank you so much.
You are so welcome. And I also have to remember all the objections I had when I started, and I was looking. I was looking for something, and I had objections for like 7 days. So yeah, absolutely. Does anyone have a last share or takeaway?
You know,
thank you.
This is Potato. If I may say, one of the first notes I saw this morning was when you're listening to someone, are you really listening, or are you thinking of your answer or objection to their response? Are you really listening? And what you're talking about is really important, because really listening is how you get to the final objective. Isn't that great?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It is really when someone feels heard that their guard goes down. Right? When they know that you hear them and you get them, their guard goes down. And suddenly they will let you into a place that you didn't know you could get to. But they've got to feel heard and related to. Absolutely. Great share. All right. Well, today we're talking about handling objections. And I think your access is be a product to the product, live in integrity around Isagenics. So you are the I am Isagenics. Constantly work on your beliefs and move from listening to a desire to really hear what people are saying. And from that place, you will serve them in a way that's very different. And you will hear objections as just a furthering of a conversation. Everyone have a fantastic month, and I will see you back here next month.